Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Where do you see Jesus? It's one of those pervasive questions, I think, not only for the church, but for people of faith everywhere. And increasingly, the answer seems to be, for some people, nowhere. I don't see Jesus. I don't see Jesus in the world or in the actions of people. I don't see Jesus in the structure of things. For many people these days, they say, I certainly do not see Jesus in the institutional church. I started saying institutional instead of organized because I'm Lutheran. But I'm not so sure that's true. Over the last few weeks, you've heard reading after reading as we've gone through our Lenten journey where we have seen Jesus. We began this Lenten journey seeing Jesus there by the Jordan River with John the Baptist dressed in his camel hair and his belt and eating locusts and wild honey. We saw Jesus as water was poured over his head, as he was dunked into the river, and as he came up, God saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." We saw Jesus there. We saw Jesus in the second week of Lent as he told his disciples early on that he must suffer and die and be raised up on the third day so that they might find true life. And that we must take up our cross and follow Jesus. We saw Jesus in that moment, even though it was not the Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, that the disciples expected or desired. In that third week, we saw Jesus come out in one of the great stories of Scripture and signal God's presence in a new way as he drove the money changers out of the temple. We saw on that day Jesus proclaim that God loved the world so much that God would give God's only Son to die that we might have eternal life. And the next week, we encounter Jesus even more deeply as we again begin this drama of Holy Week, the Passion, and Easter. In each one of these stories that we've heard week after week on our Lenten journey, we have seen Jesus. But in hearing those stories, if it's nothing more than the passive exercise of hearing again and again and again the stories of the ancient people, well, then it's really not much different than reading Harry Potter for the 20th time. It's a great story. Sometimes it's entertaining, and oftentimes it's tragic. But if all we do is hear the story at its face value again and again, it's nothing more than that. It's just a story. Well, the Greeks come that day to see Jesus. They came expecting to see something in particular. We don't know what it was, but certainly it must have been that they expected to see something new. They had heard about what he had done and how people were gathering around him, perhaps about the miracles that he had performed and the ways that he was changing people's lives. And they came to see what God was up to. It seemed exciting to them. And they wanted to see what the big deal was. And Jesus, and I also kind of like the post office thing, you know. They came and they talked to Andrew, and Andrew went and talked to somebody else, and then somebody else went and talked to Jesus. And Jesus said, did Jesus ever go see the Greeks? Did he grant them an audience? It doesn't say. In fact, what happens is when they ask to see Jesus, he tells them exactly what in fact they will see. The hour has come, he says, for the Son of Man to be lifted up. No miracles, no healings, no amazing things, simply a matter that God's presence in the world will happen in a very unexpected way. The hour has come, Jesus says, for the Son of Man to die. For a seed, if it is left out of the ground, simply does nothing. But only when it is planted in the ground and it dies will it bear fruit. The poor Greeks. There they were on a sightseeing tour to see Jesus. And instead, they get the prediction of his death. They will see Jesus, but not as a celebrity or as a prophet, but lifted up on a cross. It turned out for them and for us that God truly is up to something new in the world, something beyond our own expectations or desires. Well, I'm wondering how we're seeing Jesus. Over and over again, we see this popularized sense of the triumphant Jesus rising from the grave. If you Google image the resurrection of Jesus, it's quite beautiful. Most of the art that you see is absolutely amazing. It is filled with a kind of otherworldly light and a moment of sweetness and joy. And if you just went with that, you could figure out how to market Jesus and get more people to come and see. The problem is exactly what the kids noticed first. When I asked, where is Jesus? Where did they point? He's up there. And up there is not a glorious picture. Up there is exactly what Jesus spoke of today, that the Son of Man must be planted in the earth, that fruit might be born. How are we seeing Jesus these days? It's maybe not quite so easy. It used to be, about 20 years ago, I could say there is no theme park for Jesus. But alas, you can go to Tennessee and go to the theme park about Jesus. It's right next to the theme park about dinosaurs, where people are walking with the dinosaurs, because it must have been that way because that's how the Bible worked. But this isn't a theme park Jesus. This is a Jesus who understands deeply that in order for us to see and experience the presence of Jesus, he has to die. We see Jesus, I see Jesus in you and in all of God's people, and that's the power and the majesty and the true beauty. I love the wonderful paintings and the pictures and the glass and the stained glass art throughout Europe showing the resurrection, but the real beauty of God's presence, the real joy of the resurrection of Christ comes in you. It's easy to look for Jesus here, but I often want to say he's not in. I want to hang a door sometimes on the door. I would hang a sign on the door of the church saying, if you're looking for Jesus, he's over there. It's so easy to think that the only place that we encounter God is in worship, in church, and we want to locate that God so fully and clearly here. We dress it up and we make the stage, all of which is good stuff. We have wonderful images throughout so that we can help tell the story again and again. But it's not the end of it or the sum of it. This is where the body of Christ gathers to hear the story, to share love, to feed one another so that we can be Christ where Christ truly is in the world. Do we see Jesus in the work of a father holding his child? Do we see Jesus in the work of the accountant? Do we see Jesus in the work and life of the homeless person? The other day I woke up at the Alawai Harbor, and I got up at about 6 o'clock in the morning, and the sun was pouring out over the top of Waikiki in beautiful rays. It was picturesque. And the Hawaii Yacht Club is right here, and there's a big palm tree. And laying at the base of the palm tree was a man. He had grabbed a boogie board that was sitting next to the boat, two boats down. He'd grabbed a boogie board, and he was laying on the boogie board, and he had found some blankets, and he had covered himself over, and for all the world, it looked like a mummy. Planted in the earth. Do we see Jesus there? The Greeks came that day asking the disciples, can we see Jesus? It's the same question that I think we ask every time we come together here. And the answer is yes. But maybe not quite in the way that we expect or exactly in the way that we want. For God has poured God's self out into the earth and has died and has risen and bears fruit in you. In all of God's people.